Trust a bulletin.
Not perfect.
Definitely not perfect. A couple of issues already today. I don't know who does the bulletin around here, but he needs to get things straightened out. That would be me. So that actually is going to go hand in hand. The Lord has a sense of humor. It's going to go hand in hand with the first point we get to this morning. So let's go to John chapter 5 in your Bible. John chapter 5. If you're here last week, we started a little mini-series, three messages. We had the first one last week. Today we'll have number two, and at some point down the road we'll have number three. I don't know if that will be next week or week after, or whenever it happens, whenever the Lord wants it to, but we're talking about the true identity of the Lord Jesus Christ, which I think that might be pretty important this time of year, because a lot of people will say things about Jesus Christ that may or may not be true. What's the focus, you can help me out on this one, what's the focus about Jesus Christ this time of year, even by the world? They think of Jesus Christ as a baby. And they leave him as a baby, don't they? They don't want him to grow up. Because if he grows up, he's a man. And being God in the flesh as a man, he might be dangerous. You know what I mean? I say dangerous as in he's very powerful. As in more powerful than any other man. And that would be dangerous to anybody who might oppose him, right? So we just want to make sure that we get the true identity. If you're here last week, we talked about Jesus Christ being equal with God the Father. It's a very important Bible doctrine to understand that he is God manifest in the flesh. And this week we'll tackle another subject concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's read and then I'll tell you what that's all about. Start in verse 24, John chapter 5. We started in verse 17 last week and made it through about verse 23, so let's start verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I'm going to keep reading here, but I got to pause. How many of you in here knew Brother Bruce? You knew him? Okay, a bunch of you in here, obviously. Right now, because Bruce knew Jesus Christ, knows Jesus Christ as his Savior, according to that verse, on Tuesday morning, he passed from death unto life. Now, we'll have a service, and we'll talk about the fact that Bruce lived, and he's no longer living here. But Bruce has life. And anybody that you know who died, who has died, that knew Jesus Christ before they died, they have life, and they have life a whole lot better than we got it right now. You believe that? I'm not telling you that. That's what God's Word says. Isn't it a comfort to know, personally and loved ones that you know, it's a comfort to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Because you do not have to fear dying. You know what the world fears? What happens if I die? The Bible tells you very clearly, if you have believed on Jesus Christ, you are past. That verse is great. Don't trust me. I made mistakes in the bulletin, for goodness sake. I'm going to make a mistake other place. You believe what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Notice the present tense, hath. And then it says, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Much more we could say about that, and I probably will in a moment, but let's continue. Verse 25, words of Jesus Christ. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and have given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can, of mine own self, do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will,
but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. So the subject this morning is Jesus Christ, his authority. Did you notice there in verse 27, the Bible says, God the Father hath given him authority. So we'll look at three aspects of Jesus Christ's authority this morning. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us as we go through the verses this morning. Lord, we know that we are totally incapable of understanding what we just read without your Holy Spirit teaching us, showing us on a personal level what we need to see and hear and take in and respond to. And I pray that you would have your way in every one of our hearts this morning. May we not be distracted by thoughts or worldly things or anything else, but really focused on the person of Jesus Christ and the authority that he possesses above everybody else in this universe. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so did you notice, you have probably noticed that in our world there's a great deal of misinformation. Our president, prior to our current president, called it fake news. And that's been around for a long time, hasn't it? And I don't want you to believe what I am telling you this morning, because it may or may not be accurate. Make sure you focus on it. I'm going to look at a lot of scripture this morning, as we often do here. The reason why is we want God's Word to tell us about the Lord himself. We don't want to come up with some things in our own mind that may or may not be true. So with all the misinformation out there, it's great to have a book with words you can trust. Amen? God's Word is authoritative every time. In fact, I have on the spine of my Bible, it says, Holy Bible, 1611, authorized, King James, authorized, as in authority. I mentioned here, I think it was a few weeks back, about the only English translation of the Bible that does not have a copyright is the King James Bible. That was actually not completely accurate. The King James does have what's called the crown copyright in England. You know what that means? Anybody know what that means? You can do with it as you please. You can put it in any book that you want, and you don't have to worry about contacting the publisher to make sure that it's okay. You have freedom because of that crown copyright. It's really neat. So no limitations on that. So if you take a look there at verse 24, it says that in order to go from death to life, you must do two things. And it's real simple. You must hear the word of Jesus Christ. And then what's the second step, folks? If you can see that, what's the second thing? You must believe that the word is true. Believe on him that sent me. Believe that God the Father sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And if you hear and believe, what do you get? The verse says it. Hath everlasting life. So the first thing I'd like to talk about this morning is the authority of Jesus Christ's words. That's a powerful statement to say in verse 24. That's spoken by Jesus Christ himself. He says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. That must mean there is power in what Jesus Christ speaks. Amen? Let's get some other places in the Bible that you see power in the words of Jesus Christ, proving that his words have authority. So I'll stay in the New Testament for the most part today. So let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Hopefully you have your Bible ready to turn. Back to the left there. You're in John, and Matthew's the first of the four Gospels. Matthew 7, go down to verse 24. Read a little bit here. And I hope that you can see these things for yourself, because it actually is more powerful if you can see the words rather than me just saying the words and you saying, well, I guess he's right. Make sure you check. It's not by my authority that I want to preach to you this morning. It's by the authority of God, and that authority is found in his word. So, Matthew 7, verse 24. Jesus Christ talking here. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now, you're probably familiar with this if you ever sang the kids' song, the wise man built his house upon the rock, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And where do you live right now? You live in Florida, where there's beaches, and every time there's a hurricane, somebody loses their house, because where did they build their house? Kind of a ridiculous notion to do that. People know that and still do it anyway.
Verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. 26. And everyone that heareth these things of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Okay, now watch the response to what Jesus Christ spoke. Watch the response, very important. 28. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Over in the Gospel of John, some of the officers say, never man spake like this man, talking about Jesus Christ. When he spoke, there was authority in his voice. And authority comes when someone, number one, speaks truth. And number two, they believe that what they're telling you is the truth. And you're talking about the person. I'm talking about the person who one of his many titles is the way, the truth, and the life. So when he speaks, you can understand why there's authority. Now go to the next chapter, Matthew 8, verse 5. And watch all that happens here. This is so neat. The power of Jesus Christ's words. The authority in his words. Verse 5. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Watch verse 8. Really neat. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the what? Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now, I'm going to read the next verse, but stop for a moment. This is most likely being a centurion. He's a Gentile. And he comes to Jesus Christ, a Jew, believing that he has the power to heal his servants. And the man actually tells Jesus, he says, if you would just speak the word, what did he believe could happen? His servant be healed. This man, a Gentile, believed in the power, the authority of the word of Jesus Christ. Really neat. Now watch. We're talking about authority. And watch what the man says in the next verse. This is the centurion. Verse 9. For I am a man under what? Authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go and he cometh, goeth, and another, go and he cometh, come and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Watch what Jesus says about this man. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now, what was the faith of this man specifically in? You could say, well, it was in Jesus Christ, and that's true. But a little more specific, it was in the words that Jesus Christ could speak that he believed had healing power. Do you know anybody like that? Have you ever gone to the doctor and the doctor said a few words and suddenly you're okay? Doctors don't do that. They prescribe medication. They perform surgeries. And still, a lot of times, what they tell you to do doesn't work, huh? You're talking about the great physician, the Lord himself. And he has the power to heal with his word. So watch what happens here. Go down there to verse 13. Save a little time here. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. What was it that gave the servant, what was it that made the servant healed? It was, you could say, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're right. More specifically, it was the power of his spoken words. He tells the man, go thy way. And as he went his way, he gets home and he finds that his servant is healed. So, and if you go on in that chapter, there's a whole lot more about the words of Jesus Christ. I want you to go over to Matthew 21. Look at a couple more. Talking about the authority and the words of Jesus Christ. You can trust what he says. You can't say that about very many people today, can you? You can't trust anybody. You can trust very few people. I'll say it like that. Hopefully you've got a few people you can trust. But when it comes to trusting somebody 100% of the time, only the Lord can you trust all the time.
Look at Matthew 21, look at verse 18. 21:18. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it. Now again, Jesus Christ is addressing a fig tree. And look what he says. He said and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And watch what happened. And presently the fig tree did what? That fig tree obeyed the words of Jesus Christ, didn't it? Sometimes we could learn a lesson from a fig tree, huh? That fig tree did as Jesus Christ said. Look at verse 20. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Folks, the idea here, great authority in the words of Jesus Christ. If you go on down to verse 23, this is where you have to kind of laugh whenever you read this. People come to Jesus Christ questioning Him. And if you know the Lord, you think, well, that's a silly thing to do. But it's kind of humorous to read. It's actually very interesting to see the wisdom of Jesus Christ in handling religious, let's just be honest here, religious fools. 23, let's look at it. And when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? Okay, before I read on here, did you know that sometimes the best answer to a question is a question? The master of answering questions with questions in your Bible is Jesus Christ. And sometimes you would be better off not given an answer, as in a normal answer with a period at the end of the statement, but ask a question to get the person that's asking you the question to think further about their question. So if you go on here, look what he says, 24. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I in like manner will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. So watch what their answer is in verse 27. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. Then they go on and say, and he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. If you go to the Lord with a disbelieving, doubtful heart, you know what you will come away with? A disbelieving, doubtful heart. If you go to the Lord with a pure heart seeking the truth, you will go away with understanding the truth. But if you don't ask the right questions, they're asking the questions to try to catch him in his words. And they tried that a number of times and they couldn't do it. You know why they couldn't do it? Because when Jesus Christ speaks, he speaks truth. He speaks with authority. Amen? Go to Luke. How about one more? Luke chapter 4. Spend a little longer on this point than I will the other ones on purpose. We've got to make sure we set this record straight with Jesus Christ and the word that he speaks being trustworthy, being authoritative. So go to Luke chapter 4, verse 31. Luke 4:31. And they came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. 33. Let's see the demonstration of his powerful word. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Now, before I go on here, it sounds like the man in whom there is an unclean devil, this devil begins to speak from within this man. When I read verse 34, that devil knows a little bit about the authority of Jesus Christ, doesn't he? What does he call him? He says, I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. You know, sometimes unclean spirits in your Bible and devils have more sense than religious leaders. And here's a great case of that, where the guys came questioning him earlier, and here's an unclean spirit that knows the true identity of Jesus Christ. Now watch 35. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. So before I go on and read verse 36, what is it that Jesus Christ used to cast out that devil? It was his word, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." Now watch verse 36. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. The fame was all about the power of Jesus Christ and his spoken word. Now, do you believe there's power in his spoken word? Back to John 5:24, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." If you have heard the words of Jesus Christ and you believe that he paid the price for your sins and rose again, right now you have everlasting life because you can trust the authority of his words. Now, is that you this morning? I hope it is. Only you know the answer to that, you and the Lord. Now, if the power of Jesus Christ's words are unequaled, why would you esteem the words of a preacher, a politician, a media personality, a professional athlete, why would you esteem their words more than the words of Jesus Christ? Well, the answer to that is, well, you wouldn't, right? But what do people in our world do? They go to preachers, politicians, personalities, professional athletes, and they say, "Oh, whatever they speak, I got to make sure I hear what they say because they're smart and what they got to say is important." Folks, there's no more important words that can be spoken on ESPN, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, Fox News. There's no more important words than what we just read this morning. Those are the most important words. So we ought to spend a lot more time hearing from the Bible, the words of Scripture, more than we hear these other talking head voices that are aren't they everywhere? They just appear out of thin air nowadays, don't they? They're everywhere. You don't even want to see them or hear them, and here they are. You go in a store, you go just about anywhere, and you hear these voices. And these voices are all there to try to overthrow the authority of the only words that you can trust, the words of Scripture from God Himself. Now, I'll give you an example of the power of words. It's hard to believe that we're coming up on almost 3 years since we learned about COVID-19. It's been almost 3 years. Can you believe that? In fact, it was December of 2019 when we first started hearing about this in China. And there was a lot of questions asked. And as we got into March of 2020, suddenly the world of science stepped on the scene and said, "This is how COVID goes. This is what you need to do in response to it." And we know what we're talking about because science. I mean, come on. Science doesn't lie, right? So I'll just give you a little snippet of this. I know I mention this a lot, but what a great illustration it is to contrast whose words you actually can trust versus who you can't trust. So back in 2020, we were told, you remember this right off the bat, don't wear a mask. They told you not to wear a mask. Okay, so nobody wore masks. Okay, all right. Masks aren't going to help. And then it was a matter of weeks later, they said, "Oh, we just told you that." The same scientist said, "We only told you that because we didn't want all the masks to be bought up so the medical professionals didn't have masks. We wanted them to have masks first. But you need to wear a mask now." So you see how it changed. A mask will help, they said. Okay. So then it said, a little after that, they said, "Oh man, the solution to this is a vaccine. We need to get a vaccine." But vaccines take so long. They take years to develop. And then, less than a year later, what did they roll out? Here we have a vaccine, and it's safe, and it's okay. You see how the narrative changes constantly. This is why Paul wrote to Timothy, and he warned him about science, falsely so-called. You know, you got to really watch out about when science speaks today. There's a magazine, I used to read it often back when I first started teaching. This is well over 20 years ago. A magazine I'd pick up at the bookstore, Scientific American. If you ever read any of Scientific American before, but they had some intriguing articles, and I would always just it really get me thinking about things. And back 20, 25 years ago, the things in there that they weren't sure about, they would tell you, this is our theory. We're not 100% certain, but this is what we think. And then things that they had proved in the laboratory, they would say, we've done this hundreds of times, and this is what we got. And I thought, now that's science. And that's back in, I started teaching in 1998, and the science books were mostly like that. Now, they did throw in evolution of the secular science books, but even back then, they would put in there, evolution is a theory. And I can appreciate that. At least be honest about it. You want to throw out a theory? Okay, that's fine. Don't tell me that's how it is. And here in 25 years, what's happened? The only thing in the science books is evolution, and now they actually have taken away the word theory, and they'll just say evolution, evolution. And they will never come out and say it's a fact, but they will push evolution so hard and all the evidence supposedly behind evolution, they want you to believe that. And a person who believes in evolution, what have they done? They have said, God, you're out. We don't need you. Everything happened naturally on its own. So you see what a dilemma you get because of science. But in our world, what has the authoritative word? Science. A scientist wouldn't lie, would they? Right? And this even spills over into other fields where there are scientists, medical scientists, the nuclear science, all these other fields. Folks, I know that oftentimes they're sincere and they're seeking the truth, but then there's other times where they're trying to make a buck. That's what they're after. I have seen this in the last, probably 5-10 years more than all previous years before that. The love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say that the money is the root of all evil. The love of money. And behind all this wickedness and foolishness you see in this world, you really trace it back. Somebody's making money off of that. I could really launch out here. And I know Zane being here today, he could really help me out with launching out into this. But we're just going to save that for another time. We'll talk about it after church. But understand, the authority, the only authority you can always trust is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would you trust anybody else? Stop getting upset about, they told me this and they were wrong. You should by now expect for a lot of people to be wrong, but for God to never be wrong. Amen? Let's move on here. Go back to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. The authority of Jesus Christ's words. Let's look at this next thing here in the passage here. His words, when they are spoken, are powerful. Go down to verse 26. It says, for as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. And the next thing I'd like to talk about is the authority of the life of Jesus Christ. And I could also say the authority of the life found in Jesus Christ. Now, notice the verse says, 26, the Father, present tense, hath life in Himself. Notice in that same verse, the Son, He has life in Himself. Sounds to me like God the Father and Jesus Christ are equal. Agreed? That's what the Bible teaches. Philippians 2, you can see a little more about that. Let's look at John. Most of these are going to be in John. Go to John chapter 10, and let's look more on Jesus Christ being associated with life and having life in Himself. John 10:10. You'll see some verses here. We'll look at a few that talk about Jesus Christ not just being the source of life, but being the life. Having life and being the life. Look at 10:10. Look, great verse here. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have what? Jesus Christ says, I am come they might have life. Keep reading. And that they might have it more abundantly. You know what the world seeks right now? You know what the world would love to have right at this present moment? Life more abundantly. They live for, give me the abundant life. You know where the abundant life is found? It's found only in Jesus Christ. How about another verse? Go to John 11. One of my favorites. I think I actually read this last week, but it is obviously worth going to again and reading. Look at 11:25. This is Jesus dealing with the death of Lazarus. He tells Mary and Martha. He tells Martha particularly right here. Look what he says to her, and talking about her brother. Jesus said unto her, verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now your body might physically die, but you will live forever with Jesus Christ if you believed on him. How about another? Go to John 14. John chapter 14, familiar verse. Watch how all these verses have life in common, and that life being associated with Jesus Christ. 14:6. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And just one more to add to it. 1 John. You're in Gospel of John. John also wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Go to 1 John 5. You've got to go to the right in your Bible. Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, and then 1 John 5. Go down to verse 11. 1 John 5, verse 11. John, the apostle, wrote a great deal about Jesus Christ. And we've seen just three times already, actually four if you count John 5, a mention of Jesus Christ and life, and being specifically the life. Look at John, 1 John 5:11. Great verses here. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in where? His Son, capital S, Jesus Christ. Watch verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you have the Son? You can answer aloud or you don't have to. This morning, at this very moment, 11:54 on December the 11th, 2022, you either have life now or you don't. Now, I look out here and I see everybody here. I think, maybe you fooled me, but looks like everybody here has physical life. If you're here this morning, obviously, you do. But do you have eternal life? You say, I'm not sure. Watch verse 13. When you talk to people about being saved, verse 13 is a great place to show them they can be certain that they have eternal life. Look at what verse 13 says. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That verse tells us you can know if you have eternal life. And it's based strictly on you believing on the name of Jesus Christ. Did verse 13, now help me out here, folks. Did verse 13 say anything about you having to do something, as in be a good person to have eternal life? Did that verse say that you have to be baptized to have eternal life? Doesn't say that. Does that verse say you have to go to church to have eternal life? All those things are good, but you don't get eternal life by doing good, by coming to church or getting baptized. You get eternal life by believing on Jesus Christ. Acts 16:31, great verse. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's where it is. How come it's there? Because life is only found in Jesus Christ. Doesn't his life have authority? Yes. Isn't he able to give you life because he has that authority when you believe on him? Yes. What a great thing. Amen. You can know you have eternal life right now. That should take away the fear of death. That should take away just about any fear you could think about when you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have life. Now, there's a fellow, a great preacher of the past, named W.B. Henson. He tells about a doctor telling him towards the end of his life, he says, you have an illness and you will not recover. It's a matter of time. You will die. So here are the words of W.B. Henson. Here's what he said after he found out that news. Quote, I walked out to where I live, 5 miles from Portland, Oregon, And I looked across at that mountain that I love. I looked at the river in which I rejoice. And I looked at the stately trees that are always God's own poetry to my soul. Then in the evening, I looked up into the great sky where God was lighting His lamps, and I said, I may not see you many more times, but mountain, I shall be alive when you are gone. And river, I shall be alive when you cease running toward the sea. And stars, I shall be alive when you have fallen from your sockets in the great downpulling of the material universe. End quote. You know what he's saying? He's talking to all of God's creation saying, hey, my Bible tells me that heaven and earth shall pass away one day, but God's words aren't going to pass away, and anybody who's believed on Jesus Christ, you have life beyond what anything that stays down here on earth has. I love the trees. They're only going to last for a certain time, right? I love the birds. I love animals. Sharon, I love animals. They're only here for a certain time. And what happens after all they're gone and the Lord burns up the earth? If you're saved, you continue on. Amen? There's power in the life of Jesus Christ, and you can have eternal life when you believe what He said. Let's go back here to John chapter 5. Now, it's really neat the way the Lord lays out passages for preaching. We started off talking about the authority of Jesus Christ's words. Talked about the life that only He possesses that He will give you when you believe on His words. We'll wrap up here talking about the authority of Jesus Christ in His judgment. So look at verse 27. You'll see this show up a few times, that word judgment, in these verses that we'll read. And I'll just read the verses and we'll make a few comments and wrap up. 27. And hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Now I want to draw your attention to what He says in verse 30. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment, what does He say His judgment is? And my judgment is just. Now we have a lot of judges in our world that don't have just judgment. And everybody said amen to that, right? There is one judge who always has righteous and just judgment. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He's actually called over in 2 Timothy 4:8, one of His many titles, the righteous judge. He always gets it right. You don't even have to bring the evidence before Him. He already knows all the evidence. He always gets it right. When He makes a judgment call, it is 100% accurate 100% of the time. He is the righteous judge. So here's my question for you this morning. Today, if you had to stand before the one who has just judgment, who is the righteous judge, if you had to stand before Him today, how would you fare? Now, you're standing before the one who has lived here on earth in a body and never one time committed a sin. How do you stack up? You don't stack up, and neither do I. I'm in trouble standing before the sinless, righteous judge being a sinner unless I possess the same righteousness as the judge I'm standing before. Did you know that you can actually have the same righteousness as the judge you will stand before, Jesus Christ? You can have His righteousness when you believe on Him as your Savior. Did you know that? Let me show that to you. 2 Corinthians 5. We'll just wrap up here this morning. 2 Corinthians 5. You can have the righteousness that only the righteous judge possesses. He'll give it to you when you believe on Him. Look what it says in verse 21, last verse in 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For He hath made Him, that's Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God in Him. Hey, I'll say this about myself, and you could say the same about yourself. All good that I do in comparison to Jesus Christ is, according to Isaiah, filthy rags, worthless, useless. But when a person believes on Jesus Christ, trusting in His Word and His work, His death, burial, and resurrection, God gives that person, according to what we just read, God gives that person who believes the very righteousness of God Himself. Now, wouldn't you rather have the righteousness of God instead of your own? It's available if you'll believe on Jesus Christ. And if you believed on Him, God has given you the righteousness of Jesus Christ Himself. So that when you stand before Him, He will see you as righteous and not wicked. That's the only way you can stand before the righteous judge, the just judge, and actually be safe from any condemnation. Amen? What did verse 24 of John chapter 5 say that we started here this morning? He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me shall not come into condemnation. You know what that word, the root word there is? Condemned. You have nothing to fear as far as being condemned by the Lord Himself if you believed on what He has done for you and you trusted His word. Amen to that? You can know that you have good standing before the righteous judge based on you believing on what He said. Now, a wrap up this morning. We have time, we go over to Romans 1, where Paul explains how the creation that God made is a testimony to God's existence. So that by looking at God's creation, nobody has an excuse for knowing that there is a God. Just look at what God made. You can see His fingerprints are all over the creation. And then Paul goes on in Romans 1, and he actually talks about Romans 1 and 2. He talks about how God has given every man a conscience within that knows basic right from wrong. And then he actually says over in Romans 2, okay, we got to look at this. I can't just tell it to you. Go to Romans 2. I've got to show you this. Look what Paul ends up with in Romans 2 when it comes to judgment. Romans 2. Look at verse 16. After talking about the creation, after talking about the conscience, look what Paul says in verse 16 of Romans chapter 2. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by who? Jesus Christ according to my gospel. There's a judgment day coming. And folks, you will be judged by Almighty God based on what you have done with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is Christ died for your sins. He was buried and He rose again the third day. And He offers anybody who will believe on Him and call on Him, He gives them eternal life. Hey, that gives you perfect standing before the righteous judge. I would want perfect standing because anything else, you're in trouble. I'd be in trouble. Anything less than perfection. And that's what He has. So, I'll ask you this morning. First point we had here, we talked about the authority of Jesus Christ's words. You don't need to answer out loud here. This is between you and the Lord. Do you esteem what God said as you should? There's a lot of voices out there you can listen to and hear. You ought to esteem the words of God above everybody else. I got people I trust. There's a handful of people I can name to you that when they speak, I'm going to listen to them. But I got to be careful even with them because God's word is higher and more trustworthy than theirs. Second thing we talked about is the life found only in Jesus Christ. And you don't need to answer, but between you and the Lord, do you have eternal life right now? Do you? If you can say yes based on your trusting Jesus Christ and Him alone, you have nothing to worry about when it comes to eternal condemnation. You will have eternal life. Don't have to worry about being condemned because of what Jesus Christ did for you. I would hate for anybody this morning to walk out of here not knowing where they stand before the just judge, Jesus Christ. If you're not for sure that you're right with the Lord today, make that right before, I'd say before you leave your pew, before you get out that door, before you get in the car, because you don't know what's coming. And I'd like to think that all of us here that would return next week, but there's no guarantee of that. Make sure you're right with the Lord today before you leave, and don't put it off. Now, say people, we have a problem sometimes. We break fellowship with the Lord. It's our fault. And we go our own way. And if you need to get some things right with the Lord and you're saved, but that fellowship isn't what it should be, don't leave the door today. Don't leave the building until you got that right with the Lord. If you put it off, hey, I know a thing or two about procrastination. I'm one of the kings. If you put it off, you know what's going to happen? You'll put it off till later, and when later comes around, you'll say, I'll do it later again. That's how it goes. You keep putting it off, you'll never deal with it. Or you'll deal with it, or you'll want to deal with it, and it's too late. So deal with it today. All right, let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your words. Thank you for how they're always true, trustworthy. What you say is always more important than what any of us have to say. And I pray that if there's anybody among us here that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, does not have eternal life at this very moment, they would very clearly understand your Holy Spirit just showing them what they need and being saved and how easy it is to be saved. And I pray also for folks that are saved that today they would not put off what they need to take care of. May we deal with you honestly with an open heart this morning. And I just pray that we would allow your word to penetrate our hearts this morning, every time that we're here, every time we spend time at home or wherever we may be with your words. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.